Well, hello everyone. Do you know, I'm so enjoying these services every week because there's such a sense of connection in these strange times of separation. Even though we're not able to hug one another, I think it's really precious. And even in all the things that are said in the interviews tonight, in the prayers, there's so many connecting threads between all these things. And I hope there'll be some more connecting threads as we proceed now. Well, clearly, lots of people are being drawn to online gatherings, not least to Alpha, and we're hearing some such exciting reports of our own groups that are happening here. And also during this last week from Holy Trinity Brompton, where Alpha originated, where they've held their first online Holy Spirit Day and reported the most amazing response in terms of people deciding to follow Jesus, with lots of tears and signs of God's presence with people. Somehow, it seems that people are more open online and that it's a help to be able to use people's names because, of course, you can see people's names on a Zoom call. Perhaps we all feel more relaxed and secure in our own homes too. Here's a quote from this week's Financial Times. "I didn't like the idea of online courses. It went against the idea of local church," says Nikki Gumbel, who has run Alpha since 1990. "I couldn't have been more wrong. It works better online than in person." Well, as we travel towards Pentecost in this COVID year and are realizing more and more that this pandemic is radically changing how culture works and that we probably won't be going back to normal, whatever that is, there's an almost tangible sense of expectancy throughout the body of Christ. Many of us have come across online prayer gatherings, some with a global reach. And church leaders are reaching out to one another with new intentionality. We ourselves, just as one example, gathered a couple of weeks ago with about 90 leaders from across the entire denominational spectrum, including the Orthodox Archbishop of the Egyptian Coptic Church, to share what we see God doing among us. And a second meeting of the same group is planned for the week after Pentecost. There's such a hunger to be together. And this last week, we gathered with the Love Oxford pastors. Again, nearly everyone turned up to our surprise, which isn't always the case. And it was a time of joy and affection and encouragement. I think times of uncertainty and loss of control that we're experiencing now because of COVID-19 cause all sorts of responses. One of them is heightened faith. And there are all sorts of prophecies about revival finding their way into the public domain via social media platforms. We need to use caution and wisdom in discerning the true from the false. But as Paul tells the Thessalonians, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil." From Thessalonians 5. I think that's a great seminar on prophecy and short. So I think it's right for us to approach Pentecost with great faith and hope and expectancy. And this is why I want to linger in the upper room just a bit longer this evening. Although I know you've technically finished the series, I just find myself captivated by Thomas's experience. Another completely different response to the loss of the predictable is fear, and that might be one explanation for the surge in exploring faith through Alpha and other avenues. We don't know why Thomas wasn't with the other disciples when Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Back in John chapter 11, when Jesus says, "Let's go to Lazarus," and the disciples say, "But last time you went there, you wanted to go there, the Jews tried to stone you," Thomas is the one who says, "Let's go too. We might as well die with him," as the message puts it. Great bravado. But now, post-crucifixion, he's understandably much less sure. Whatever the reason for his earlier absence, Thomas represents the individualist, the doubter, the cynic in each of us. He's heard at least four accounts of people he knows well having met the risen Christ. But when the others said they'd seen Jesus, he essentially said, "I don't believe you. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." He's resistant to a new reality until he sees for himself. The door of his mind was closed, locked, as are the doors to thousands of minds. And there are so many reasons why we may have locked the door to our mind or our heart. Nearly always, loss and suffering in some form will have contributed. Any of the myriad calamities that can befall a person during his or her lifetime can cause us to reject or walk away from God. In Thomas's story here in John 20, Jesus comes through the locked door, first of all proclaiming peace, and then saying to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." The text doesn't relate whether Thomas actually did this, but of course he no longer needed to because his question had been answered and now he sees. He simply declares his faith, "My Lord and my God." And this is really what happened to me. I'd had endless alpha-style discussions. I asked questions and I argued incessantly. I think I was a very troublesome client. Until late one night, as I was falling asleep in my little student room, God walked through my door and the light streamed in, and I knew that I knew that I knew that the presence of God was in the room. And like Thomas, I uttered words of submission, though a lot less eloquent. And like Thomas, my life was changed forever. And this is what we're praying in this Easter to Pentecost season. And then, of course, on beyond it. For we long for every day to be the day of salvation for someone, for many. The day when Jesus walks through the locked door and the light comes streaming in. And a person says, "I once was blind, but now I see." The church calendar just serves to focus our minds, and at this particular season, it's on the reality of God filling us with his Holy Spirit so we can carry the presence of Jesus wherever we go. Perhaps one of the most important points that the encounter with Thomas makes is that Jesus is announcing in his very body that suffering love, not powerful or forceful love, has overcome death. So many are asking, where is God in the pandemic? And we do struggle to unite a loving God with the overwhelming suffering. But the risen Jesus, with his wounded hands and side, unites them. In a conversation I listened to this week about the pandemic, New York theologian and Christian apologist Tim Keller remarks that Job and Jesus were two innocent sufferers, yet both remained faithful to God. Job, as Keller says, had some shaky moments, but he did hold on. And being faithful in the darkness, says Keller, is what defeats Satan. Similarly, in the story of Lazarus in John 11, when Martha effectively says, "Lord, why did you let this happen?" Jesus gives no explanation or answer, but he prays and he weeps and he helps. And he knew that bringing Lazarus out of the grave would be the last straw for the authorities and would start his own journey into the grave. We don't know why God is allowing the pandemic, but we do know that he is in it with us and that it's not here because he doesn't love us. He, Jesus, is right in it, just as he was with Mary and Martha at the death of their brother, just as he is with every person experiencing sickness and loss. The God of Christianity, whom we worship, is the only God who comes into the world as a vulnerable human being who is mortal, who is killable, and voluntarily gives up his life for our sakes. He understands our suffering because he himself has suffered. This is what filled the disciples with courage at Pentecost and what persuaded thousands to believe then and millions since. Church tradition claims that Thomas became a missionary to India where he was martyred. Tonight, whether you're a seasoned Christian or considering Christianity through Alpha or other means, be encouraged to pray for an encounter with the risen Christ that will change your life, that will fill you with courage, that will turn your doubt to conviction, that will deliver you from all fear of death, because death is not the end. Last October, my only sister, Miranda, was killed in a brutal car crash. Yesterday was her birthday. It was a day of mourning and missing, but it was also a day of deep certainty. And this is the transformation that an encounter with Jesus brings. As disciples of Jesus, like Thomas, we have the best news, the evangel, that the world can offer, especially in this time of lockdown and uncertainty. Right at the end of this incident, John adds that all of this is written down that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And this evening, this is my prayer. It's for those of us whose allegiance is already determined, but perhaps who need encouraging in the marathon of the lockdown to stay the course. But it's also for any of you listening who may still be considering Jesus's kingship. I tell you, Jesus is the real thing. I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to invite you to ask God for an encounter, to ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Let's just pray together. I'm praying some words from Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And to you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening and we ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you invite us to come and drink of this water, just as Jesus offered that water that would well up within us at the Feast of Tabernacles in the Gospel of John. We thank you that it is free, the gospel is free. And we ask, Lord, that we might come again to you at this time of Pentecost and ask you to fill us. We need you. We need you. We need you daily. And we want to encounter you that we ourselves might be those who carry your presence and bless others who we connect with in all sorts of different ways. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. And let's just have, before our Christopher takes the reins again, let's just have a few moments of silence to make our own prayer to God.